Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, worship team. Good morning, church. How are we doing this morning? I missed announcements. I was outside talking to people. Did we talk about VBS, Brandon? It was amazing. It was so good and fun to see the kids. And the kids and the families that came raised over $1,400 to help out for homeless people ministry, which is amazing to see that. And so Michelle just has this great heart for kids and to help others in need. So it was just a cool week. Before I get started, too, there's a paper on the way out if you're interested. This Tuesday, Becky and I travel to Tanzania for the mission trip over there to Africa, and we'll be gone the 1st through the 15th. So it kind of gives an itinerary of what we're doing and just how you can be praying for that trip. I get to speak to groups of kids ages 9 to 18. How hard can that be? For an hour at a time. I tell you, good heavens. So you could be praying that God does an amazing work. Fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about today. We're going to be talking about faithfulness, and that's why we're singing about great is God's faithfulness, and that'll tie into this a little bit. How many of you know about Murphy's Laws? Murphy's Laws are those unspoken, unscientific truths that no matter what, they always happen, right? And so let's just run through a few of these. If something can go wrong, it will, right? Nothing is as easy as it looks. Everything takes longer than you think. If your toast falls, it will land butter or jelly side down. If you're wearing white, you will spill your food as you eat, which is why I wore black today for the hot dogs. Things get worse under pressure, and no matter how much you plan, you will still need at least 5 extra trips to Home Depot. Maybe 17, who knows. What are some other, like, Murphy's Laws that you know of or think of? Just shout it out, 2 or 3 people. When you wash your car, it's going to rain. Perfect. Yeah, it happens all the time. That's why I never wash my car. God, I'm waiting on you. What's one other Murphy's Law? Get sent the wrong auto parts. Yep, so... All right, just anything. When you need something like that's critical, you get the wrong piece to fix it. James.
Well, Kathy said if you speed, she's going to get a ticket.
If you speed, you're going to get a ticket. Right. And so Murphy's Laws, that's a good way to throw somebody under the bus. James, we'll be praying for your soul today. Murphy's Laws are those things that, like, this is how it's going to happen, right? But do Murphy's Laws come true all the time? No. Is it every time that you wash your car that it rains? No. Usually, but no. If something can go wrong, does it always go wrong? No. Do you always spill food when you wear a white shirt? No. I mean, it could be black, it could be purple, it could be brown. Doesn't matter what color. Murphy's Laws don't always happen. They're not always true. And so we think about things like that. Sometimes there's good things that happen. It's not always bad. But people talk about things that will faithfully happen. I'm going to borrow this pencil. What are some things, like, there's 2 things you can count on in life?
Death.
Right, death and taxes. Like, how cynical and depressing is that if that's what you think of life? The only thing I can count on, the only thing that's faithful, is death and taxes. Like, there's more than that. What about gravity? Can you count on gravity? Is gravity there every morning when you wake up? Faithfully, gravity is there. Whether you want it to be or not, gravity is there. Does the sun rise every morning in the east and set in the west every night? Yes. It always does. Not as someone said usually. No, it always does. Every day. Every day the sun rises here and sets over there, or rises there and sets, well, it doesn't matter where we're at directionally. But you get it. The sun is completely faithful. Every morning. Do we see it every morning? No, sometimes there's clouds, sometimes it's raining, you don't always see it, but just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it didn't rise, right? The sun is faithful to do what it does, always, consistently, dependably. God is pretty faithful too. As we read through his word and different verses, we find out that God is completely trustworthy. He's true. When he said something, he's going to follow through with it and do it because he's reliable and he's trustworthy. He keeps every promise that he's ever made. I mean, think about that. Every promise that God has ever made, he has kept or is going to keep. Can you think of one other person that has kept every promise that they've made? I haven't even kept every promise that I've made. I haven't, and none of us have. God has kept every promise. And of all the verses we can read, I love this one out of Deuteronomy. It says, "The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness. A God of faithfulness. And without injustice, righteous and upright is he." That's Deuteronomy 32:4. A God of faithfulness. Like faithful to a fault is who God is. Completely trustworthy. Totally dependable. His track record is perfect. Now, to be fair, he might not answer the questions you have for him in the way that you want them answered. And he usually doesn't answer them in the time that you want them answered. But he's faithful. Completely faithful. And faithful is a big word, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And so here's what I'd like you to do. All you introverts love this part of the sermon. I want you to turn to the person you're sitting next to and just ask them this question and discuss this. What is a definition of faithful that you have? How would you define faithful? And what are some synonyms to that word? So take about 45 seconds. Ready? Go. Not cinnamon. Synonym. Okay, you got about 20 seconds. All right, as you're wrapping that up, share with me, if you will, and just kind of shout it out clearly because my hearing is not clear. What are some synonyms of faithful?
Dedication.
What's that?
Dedication.
Good. Dedication. Whoa, you're going so fast. Loyal, steadfast. Then what else?
Vigilant.
Ooh, that's like a... Did you look that up online, Kat? I'm not doubting. What that's like a big word. Like no one really uses the word vigilant. That's what I'm saying. And then someone else...
Commitment.
Good.
Trust.
Trust, unfailing. Then Steve, you said something.
Present.
Very good. Reliable and consistent. All right. That is so far we have, and this is a good list. Dedication, loyal, steadfast, vigilant, commitment, trust, unfailing, present, reliable, and consistent. Those are some great synonyms of being faithful. Do those words define you? When people think about Brian... Oh, he's committed. He's vigilant. He's reliable. When people think about Brandon, is he committed all the time? He's committed crazy sometimes, but I mean, he totally is committed. I'm not kidding. Sometimes we live up to those words, and sometimes we fail miserably at those words. Sometimes we're there, and we're not. And the work the Spirit is trying to do in us as we talk about cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the qualities that He's trying to produce and mature in our lives. And here, faithful is in there. And are we faithful? And there's so many ways and roads to talk about being faithful, and we'll talk about this in a minute. But here's what I want you to see when it comes to being faithful. Like, if something doesn't get the job done, usually you run out and find something else that can get the job done. And kind of the bottom line when we talk about faithfulness is this. If you can't be counted on, you'll be counted out. Right? If you can't be counted on, you'll be counted out. Now, then that's a perspective of how people view us. I want you to know that that's not necessarily God's perspective. Amen? I love the patience of God because there's enough times that God can't count on me. But He continues to pursue me in pursuit of produce perfection in me. That's the goodness of God. But as we talked about faithfulness, if we can't be counted on, we might be counted out by people. And so what I want to talk about in faithfulness today is really looking at our faith and this call that we have to represent God to the world. And so we're reading through this book called Cultivating the Fruit of the Spirit by C.H. Wright or something. It's a really good book, and the chapter on faithfulness is fantastic. If you have the book, read it. Make sure you read it. If not, get the book. He just does a very good job, and there's only so much we can say. This morning, I want to start reading from 2 Peter chapter 1. And if you wouldn't mind standing with me as we read this morning, we want to look at what does faithfulness have to do with our faith in God and our growth in God and our maturity in God. So this is our word for this morning, 2 Peter chapter 1, just reading verses 5 through 8. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your word. God, as we just kind of step back and so many verses we can read about you, that great is your faithfulness. Great is your steadfastness. Lord, you are always there. You are always reliable. You are always dependable. You are always present. And God, that faithfulness is what you're trying to produce in us as well, as we represent you to the world. Lord, as we sit this morning and talk about these things and learn from your word, help us learn what it means to be faithful to you and how we can do that more and more. Use this time, God, to speak to our hearts and minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, church, you can have a seat. Great passage, and I know we've read this passage before, and if you're here in person, no offense to those who are online, you just didn't get a bulletin handout, but that verse is at the bottom, parts of that verse. Make every effort, he says, to supplement your faith with virtue. Now, this is an incredible passage, and I want you to know Peter is writing this passage to what's called the dispersion, or the dispersia, that people of faith have been tormented and persecuted and scattered across the Roman Empire. They've left their homes and places that they've known, and so they're in this world of unknown and just different. And Peter's saying, don't give up the fight. Don't weaken on your faith. Don't fizzle out on it. Keep fighting for it. Keep adding to your faith and keep growing in it. Even though everything seems bad right now, it's going to be okay. God is there with you. Don't get distracted. Hang on to the faith. In fact, not just hang on to the faith. Continue to supplement your faith and add this to your faith. And I love what Peter is writing there. And so as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness, what is God trying to produce in us? And what is God trying to produce in us as it relates to our faith? Because when we jump back to Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all that, the word for faithfulness is the Greek word pistis, which is the word that is used for faith. So Paul is saying the fruit of the Spirit is faith, but it can also be translated as faithfulness. Faith is what we believe in, believing in something, and faithfulness is our actions towards that. And so some people will say, well, what Paul's really talking about here is just faithfulness. And they use it as an either or. But I don't think it's either or. When we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit is faith and faithfulness. Does that make sense? It's not one or the other. It's both. And so that's what I want to kind of talk about today. That's where I'm going, because I believe Paul is encouraging Christians in Galatians, continue to grow in your faith. And as you grow in your faith, faithfulness will abound as well. So that's what we kind of want to talk about today. First point this I want to talk about is this. Faithful to faith in God. Well, I mean, that's kind of redundant and repetitive, isn't it, Pastor? It is and it isn't. Stick with me. Faithful to faith in God. Peter has this list. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, and all these great traits, all these great characteristics, right? But Peter, notice he doesn't say, make sure that you get these character traits in your life. Add these virtues and vice into your life, right? Because it'll be good for you and people will respect you if you act this way. Now, how does Peter start out this passage? Make every effort to supplement your faith. He's not just talking about your character. He's talking about your faith in God. Make every effort to supplement, or the NIV says, to add to your faith. Continue to grow in your faith. Continue to mature in your faith. These things so that it will keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. And so when we talk about faith, faith is defined as a conviction of truth. That's what a belief is, a conviction of a truth. And so when we add to our faith, when we add to our belief, we're adding to this conviction of a truth that we have, a truth that I talked about God, that he is faithful to the end. That's why Paul writes in the book of Romans in chapter 1, Paul is a guy we'll talk about a lot. He wrote many of the New Testament, guy totally devout to following Jesus and writing letters to churches. He says in Romans chapter 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God to salvation to all who believe. To all the ones who have faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for salvation to all who believe. To the Jew first and then to the Gentile. For in it righteousness, the righteousness of God was revealed from faith to faith. So that the righteous would live by faith. There's a lot of faith going on in that passage, right? Because Paul gets it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm convicted of the truth of the gospel. I believe it with my whole heart, so much so that I've left everything behind and I've been traveling the Roman Empire to tell everybody about the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the call God has given him. And I'm not ashamed of that gospel because it's salvation to everyone who has faith, because the righteous shall live by faith. The point is, our journey with God is a journey of faith. The problem is that journey has so many hurdles and so many distractions, doesn't it? And here's the truth. As good as faith is, there has always been a resistance to God's truth. From the beginning of time, there's been a resistance and an attack on God's truth. And I don't want you to see, I'm not pointing out people groups. I'm not pointing out people or any activist groups. The problem isn't about that. From the beginning of time, there was a serpent in the garden with Adam and Eve, the only two people on the planet, challenging God's truth, trying to defy God's truth and getting people to distrust God's truth and have that conviction. Did God really say that? Well, that's not what he meant. That's not truth at all. God doesn't know what he's talking about. And there's been a resistance, an attack against God's truth. If I can defame God's truth, I can dissuade you from believing in him and having faith in him. So if we want to be faithful to faith in God, we're going to have to fight through all these resistances. And this is why I say it's not about people and it's not a people problem. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul, the guy totally devout, is writing to this church. And Ephesus has a huge, culture and community of witchcraft and magic and a whole bunch of things going on in it. And so there's a lot of, if you will, spiritual forces and dark forces going on in the city of Ephesus. And so when you read through the book of Ephesians in the Bible, you're reading through Paul combating those things, not people. Who our identity is in Christ and who we are in that, so that as we stand against these things and continue to be faithful to God. But in chapter 6, he's talking about putting on the whole armor of God. But he says this, we're not fighting against people. People aren't the problem. There's a bigger thing going on. There are evil forces and dark forces at hand that are trying to undermine God's truth. You won't find it written that way. That's the BKV. It's the Brian Camber version. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Our fight isn't against flesh and blood. It's against the spiritual forces and the dark forces that are trying to undermine God's truth. So, be faithful to your faith in God. Push for that. Grow in it. Continue to strive to add to it. Don't give up on it. And when these challenges come in, bring it back to God. Here's a challenge. What does your word say about that? What do you say about that? How do I grow in you in this? Paul writes to Timothy, and we'll talk about him later, a young man he was mentoring. It says, fight the good fight, hold on to your faith and a good conscience so that your faith, Timothy, does not get shipwrecked. Because these two people, their faith has become shipwrecked. They didn't remain faithful to their faith. The goal of the Christian, the goal of the fruit of the Spirit is that we would continue to grow and remain faithful to our faith in God. Amen. Think of it this way. We have, when we're families or we have kids and we have this baby, the baby's beautiful, but you want to see your baby grow up and you enjoy every stage, right? And there's the little stage, and then when they can crawl, and then when they can grab their own little Cheerios and somehow get it to their mouth, it's like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. And you love it, and it's not like you didn't love the, oh, I love you, and all you can do is just coo and poop in your diaper while I cuddle you. That was a great stage too, because I love, but it's so cool at this stage, right? But parents, you want to see your babies grow, right? As much as you miss this little stage, they're walking and not knowing how knees work and doing things like that. It's amazing. It's so fun. And then they're toddlers and they grow up and you don't want to see them grow up. And my youngest just turned 21, so my kids are like adult now. And I'm just like, wow. But that's, you want to see your kids grow up. And in the same way, how many of you have planted gardens before? You know, and you wanted to get tomatoes. And I know Shelly Main brought in some zucchinis and cucumbers during VBS and different things to share with people. Ooh. I'm not supposed to talk about gardens. But you don't put the seeds in the ground and 2 months later hope that seeds are still in the ground, do you? You put seeds in the ground and you water them and you give them the sun that they need so they grow up and that they bear fruit. It's almost time for hot dogs. We want to see things grow. And if you want to see your vegetable garden grow, you be faithful to make sure you tend to it and nurture it so that it grows. If you want to see your children and your babies grow, you be faithful to tend to them and nurture them so that they grow. If you want to see your faith grow, you be faithful to it and you tend to it and nurture it so it grows. Amen? Be faithful to your faith in God. And how do we do that? Just three simple things: by God's word, by prayer, and by worshiping together. This book, the Bible, is where God reveals himself to us. Tells us who he is. Tells us what truth really is. And again, when we talk resistance to the truth, like, well, that was good back then, but society has changed now. Oh, so what? God's truth has changed now. No, society doesn't get to dictate what God's truth is. God reveals what his truth is. Am I faithful to that or not? Am I going to fight the resistance to his truth, or am I going to stick with his truth? Because God is the only one that's completely faithful. Stick to his word, study it, meditate on it, memorize it, keep it in your hearts and minds. Prayer is that place where we get to align ourselves with God, where we not only pour out our burdens and celebrations, but we just get to sit in his presence and say, God, am I on the right track with you right now? Am I going where you want me to go? I love that we had the person who did who's leading our Tanzania trip just sent a message out to Becky and I. He said, hey, I've been praying about it, and I feel called by God that at the chapel, at the end of the thing, I'm giving an invitation for people to follow Christ, and I need you to follow through in prayer on that, that God does the work that he needs to do. So, church, I'm passing that challenge on to you. As he sat in God's presence in prayer, said, God, what do you want to do with this camp? What do you want to do with these kids? God has said to him, I want you to challenge them to put their faith in me. And so that's where God has led him, that's where he's going to go, and that's what we're going to be faithful to. And I challenge you, as we pray for this trip, that God does a mighty work that way. The word and prayer and worship together. One of the ways we forsake our faith is we forsake meeting together with one another. And that can be in small groups, which is great. That can be church attendance. We do these things, but sometimes it's like, I don't really need the church. I can just grow on my own. I don't really need to be around other Christians. I can just grow on my own. And you have a really hard time being obedient to the truth of God when it says, do this to one another, bear one another's burdens, forgive one another. It's really hard to do one another things when one another's aren't around. And I will tell you what I've seen more and more of people who haven't necessarily shipwrecked their faith, but their faith has become more shaky than it was before, are people that fail to continue to meet together. I'm just telling you what I've seen. That's kind of a Murphy's Law thing. That's not for everybody. It's a general truth. But the more people step away from the church and meeting together with other Christians and challenging one another to grow in their faith, sometimes the weaker their faith can become. We need one another. We do. If we want to continue to be faithful in our faith, be faithful to the word, be faithful to prayer, be faithful to be worshiping together. And that's not just sitting and teaching things. It's here singing together. That's serving together, like we talked about getting together on the Mexico trip or serving at VBS and doing things together for the glory of the Lord. Those things help us grow in our faith and grow together. Amen. Second thing that we need to be faithful to is faithful to God's mission. Faith requires an obedience to an outcome, right? Belief, remember we talked about belief, faith is a conviction of a truth. And if you have a conviction of a truth, you kind of live by that truth. Is that right? And so I want you to think about that. As an example, we all know about distracted driving, don't we? Using our phones while we drive. It said that distracted driving accounts for 3,000 deaths of all the deaths that happen. And that's about 7 or 8% of the deaths of driving. Like scientific facts from different things. And I know, like, how do you know they were on their phone when they got in the second? Well, there's the text that they were on right there. There's different things. So we all know that texting while driving or using your phone while driving, distracted driving can cause accidents, correct? There's facts for it, correct? How many of you still use your phone while you drive? Don't show your hands. You don't have to. I'm not here to call you out. I'm just telling you that you don't really believe it. Because if you believed it, you would be convicted by that truth and you wouldn't use your phone because you wouldn't want to hurt anybody else, including yourself. But if we're not being obedient to not using our phones because we just don't believe that I'll be the one to get in the accident, then you don't believe the truth that distracted driving can hurt people. Your actions will follow the belief. And some of you are like, hey, Pastor, don't go there. I'm just pointing things out. Do I still use my phone when I drive? Yeah, I do. I try not to. My kids yell at me a lot. Like, Dad, you didn't answer. I was driving. Well, you can still use your phone. I don't. I use it mostly to, like, get my maps and figure out where I'm going, and sometimes I'll watch that, but that's still distracted driving. I love that even one day I was driving down Valley View Boulevard, and as you get off, they have the sign up for all these things, and it says, this month is Distracted Drivers Month. I'm like, well, thanks for that. Now I'm not watching traffic anymore. They're just trying to help. Faith requires obedience. It just does. Jesus says this, and listen to the play on words in John chapter 3. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does what? Believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son, whoever does not, shall not see life. See the synonym that Jesus has between belief and obedience. Whoever believes the Son has life, but whoever does not obey does not have life. Later on in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Be faithful to God's work. What is the work? What is the mission that God is doing? He's making disciples. He's making disciples. Matthew chapter 28. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And the last command he gave them was, go make disciples. How can I teach them to obey that command if I'm not willing to obey that command? Acts chapter 1:8. You will be my witnesses here, there, and everywhere. God using us to put his message out there. Making disciples, sometimes we think, oh, that's the pastor's job. It's really not that difficult. It's just walking through life with people, sharing God's truth with people. And the first step is simply this, inviting them to come and experience God's love. Not just at church. It doesn't have to be at church. It can just be, let's go get a coffee together. Hey, let's go get lunch. Let's go grab, hey, you want to come with me while I go do this? The other day I had to drive into LA to pick up Becky's passport. And Cody's like, you want some company? Fantastic, I would love some company. And not just company so I get the carpool lane, which was great, but that was the second benefit. The blessing of sitting there with Cody and talking in the car, which I almost got in an accident because I was helping him find his phone. Not using my phone, I was helping him find his phone. But then waiting in line for an hour out there that he and I can chat and talk. Having someone there with me. It's just taking people on the journey of life with you wherever you go. It's easy to make disciples. We make it more difficult than it really is. It's just sharing God's love with them and being faithful to be with them everywhere and faithful to represent God to them. And at some point, inviting them to come and experience God's truth. Again, we go back to Paul. And Paul is talking to Timothy. Timothy is this man that young man he's been mentoring. And he says this, we'll put it up on the screen. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Hey, Timothy, as I have entrusted you with this, you've watched me, you've seen me, you've heard my teaching, now you go out and you find more people that you can entrust this to, that they can entrust it to. That's what making disciples is just all about, is sharing God's love with people and then letting them go and releasing them to go and share God's love with people more and more. It's really simple. We make it sometimes this difficult concept. It's just being faithful to be present in their lives all the time and to represent God faithfully to them. And the good news is you don't do it alone, because God is there with you every step of the way, empowering you and strengthening you, and he will bring to mind the things that you need to say to them. And it's okay to say, I don't know, that's a great question. But are we being faithful to God's mission? I got to be faithful to my faith in God and grow in it, but as I'm growing in that, I need to be obedient to what God has called us to do, make disciples. Remember in Aesop's Fables, the tortoise and the hare? And they have a race, and the hare's like, what a waste. Like, I'm going to blow this guy away. And so they goes on. He runs ahead, and he's so far ahead, he's like, I'm just going to take a nap and lay down because obviously I've got this in the bag. And he falls asleep for too long, and the tortoise is like, and he just, hey, Mr. Hare. And he just walks past him and gets to the finish line. And sometimes we look at that like, oh, the hare was this net. The problem with the hare thought he was just there to beat the tortoise. The hare wasn't there to beat the tortoise. The hare was there to win the race, to finish the race, and he got distracted by something else. The tortoise wasn't there to beat the hare. The tortoise was there to finish the race. You and I have a race, and it's called being faithful to God and making disciples, doing his work, being committed to his mission. Are we being faithful to that? Are we dedicated to making disciples? Are we loyal? Are we steadfast? Are we vigilant in it? Are we committed to it? Are we trustworthy in it? Are we unfailing in it? Are we present in making disciples? Are we reliable and consistent in it? And those are all our synonyms. Am I faithful in making disciples? Here's the cool thing. Here's the great news I think is truly amazing. God created each and every one of us. Amen? And yet each and every one of us has rebelled against God and sinned. And yet he pursues us and chases after us and pays the price of our sin by sending his son to die on the cross to forgive us and redeem us and adopt us into us, into his family. Which is amazing, right? It's amazing. It doesn't stop there. Because then the most critical thing that God can have to do, the biggest work that he has to do in reaching the lost and making disciples, is not sending angels to pop up here and there and go, oh, I'm here to tell you about Jesus. None of that happens. He entrusts that job to us. Like, you might feel overwhelmed by that. Like, there's every way, because God has called you and empowered you to do that. He has equipped you to be the right person for people that need to hear about Jesus. People will learn more about Jesus from you than they will learn from me, because of who you are and how God has crafted you and knit you together. Are you being faithful to that? Because God has entrusted you, as he has entrusted me, with that mission to go and make disciples. The single biggest mission on the planet, he entrusts to ordinary people. Just like Jesus entrusted to 12 people 2,000 years ago. And yet here we are, the church still growing, and faith still rising across the nation and our whole planet. Because faithful people are faithful to God's mission and growing in their faith. Church, I encourage you, as we talk about faith, continue to be faithful to God and continue to be faithful to your faith in God. Add these things to your faith so that it keeps you from being unproductive and ineffective. God has work for you to do. His mission is to make disciples, and he has empowered you and called you to do it. Be faithful to that mission. Amen? Be reliable and be trustworthy, and don't be afraid. God is there with you every step of the way. Let's be faithful in representing God to our world around us. Jeremy, if you want to come on up so you can play guitar, and then the band will come up afterwards. We're going to move into a time where we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's this bread and this juice, and it represents that Jesus went to that cross for us, that he laid down his life to redeem us and to save us. And not only that, to empower us to do the work that he's called us to do. And so as you come to the table this morning, I encourage you to thank God for this gift of forgiveness and salvation that you have. But also take a moment and say, God, who is it in my life right now that you might be calling me to go and share your love with, to be a part of the disciple-making process? And even in this time, let him renew that in you and let him tell you where he wants you to work. Won't you pray with me? God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you are a faithful God. Even when we are unfaithful, Lord, you are still faithful. So, Lord, I pray that you help us to continue to grow in our faith. As the fruit of the Spirit is faith and faithfulness, Lord, this faith is a critical part. Help us to nurture it and tend to it, to cultivate it, to do the things we need to do to stay faithful to you. And when distractions come and when things come to challenge your truth, Lord, may we continue to grow stronger and stronger in our faith in you and hold on to that unswervingly. At the same time, God, you've called each and every one of us in this room to go and make disciples. It's not just for the pastors. It's not just for ministry leaders. It's not for the more mature Christians. Lord, it's for each and every one of us. You have a part for us to play. Help us to be faithful to do that part. Help us to follow you as you call us to go and make disciples. Lord, we thank you and we love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.